Ash Monday. He'd always loved the smell of gasoline. It reminded him of when he was little, when he was 7 or 8 and Grady came to live with him. When Grady moved in, he brought his yellow Chevy Supersport with him, backing it into the weeds by the side of the garage on a sleek black trailer he must have rented for the day because it was gone in the morning. That first night had fallen over Dill like an absence, like all the nights then and most of the days too, a whole tumble of nothing that sparked with a particle of memory here and there. But he remembered the trailer, and Grady. Of course he remembered Grady, because Grady was here in this house till he was 11 years old. And he remembered seeing the car mounted on cement blocks the next morning, as if it had gone through a wall at 100 miles an hour and got hung up on the rubble. And he remembered the smell of gasoline. Grady wore it like perfume. Now Dill was 13, with a car of his own, or at least the one he'd have when he was old enough to get his learner's permit. And when he tried to picture Grady, what Grady looked like, he could see Grady's hat, the grease-feathered baseball cap that had a number 4 and a star sign on it in a little silver box in front. And he could see Grady's silver shades beneath the bill of that cap. And below that, there must have been a nose and a mouth. But all he could remember was the mustache that hooked down over the corners of Grady's lips, making him look like the sad face Billy Bottoms used to draw on every available surface when they were in 5th grade. At the moment, he was in the yard, smelling gasoline, thinking of Grady, looking at his own piece-of-shit car parked there by the garage where the Supersport had sunk into its cement blocks till his mother had it towed away to the junkyard. He felt the weight of the gas can in his hand, lifted his face to the sun and the hot breath sifting through the canyon. But for just a fraction of a second, he forgot what he was doing there, as if he'd gone outside of himself. This was a thing that happened to him, that had always happened to him, another kind of absence that was so usual he hardly noticed it. It irritated his mother, baffled his teachers. He wished it wouldn't happen or happen so often, but there it was. He was a dreamer, he guessed. That was what his mother called him, a dreamer. And here came her voice through the kitchen window, her caught high-in-the-throat voice that snapped like the braided tail of a whip. "Dill, what are you doing standing there? The potatoes are almost done. I need you to light the fire and put the meat up right this minute." His mother was a teacher. His father didn't exist. His grandmother was dead. And this house, high in the canyon with bleached boulders all around it like the big toes of 100 buried giants, was his grandmother's house. And his piece-of-shit 97 Toyota Camry with no front bumper, 2 seriously rearranged fenders, and the sun-blistered paint that used to be metallic gold but had turned the color of a fresh dog turd was his grandmother's car. But then she didn't need a car, not where she was now. "And where was that?" he'd asked his mother in the hush of the back room at the funeral party.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?